This morning, we're looking at the fifth commandment in Exodus 20. Can you guys hear me? Okay. I'm using this new flesh-colored mic. So I don't know if you guys could see it. So, sorry. Is this all right? Okay. Is that good? Use the other one? Okay. Okay. All right. Is this good? Okay.
Which one are we using?
I'm going to use the headset. Right. I'm going to use, yep. All right, so Exodus 20, verse 12. As always, this is God's word. It stands over us. It's for our good and for our benefit. Therefore, let us give our attention to it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let me pray for us and pray for our time this morning. Let's pray. Father, as always, we come to you and we acknowledge that you are God, that we are your people, that we are your sheep, the people of your pasture, the sheep of your pasture. We ask God that you would help us, that you would soften our hard hearts, that you would unstop our ears, that you would open our eyes, that we might see that you're good, that we might see that your law is good. We ask, God, that you would teach us and show us what it means again to fear you, to love you, to honor you. We ask, God, that you would help us to see Jesus, to see his work on our behalf, to see his love to us, to see how he atones for our sin and shortcoming. We ask that you, Father, by your Spirit, that you would work in us, that you would change us, you would transform us through the foolishness of the preaching of your word. Lord, we ask that you would help us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The theologian, writer, poet, and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith, once said, "You know, parents are the same, no matter time nor place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you, all the kids across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand." This is from Will Smith's 1988 song, Parents Just Don't Understand. And this song is a cautionary tale to kids to not bother even listening to your parents. This song is a cautionary tale of Will saying to youth everywhere that it doesn't make sense to even reason with your parents. It doesn't make sense to try to rationalize. They will not get it. They won't understand. And what this song, I think, in a lot of ways highlights is really this age-old tension between generations. That even if you think about that song and you think about a song that came 20 years before it by a band called The Who, and you think about these words and consider these lyrics, "People try to put us down talking about my generation. Just because we get around talking about my generation. Things they do look awful cold talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old talking about my generation." That song was written in the 60s. That song was written for youth who felt their parents as oppressive forces. You think about that song in the 60s, you think about Will's song in the 80s, you think about popular forms and icons and musicians in today's day and age, like Kanye West, who proclaimed in rebellion to authorities and criticisms, "We the millennials, bro. We the millennials." This is the new mentality that you see, that there it is again, that age-old tension of current generations dealing with and wrestling with former generations. Do you think about these things and you think about all that's happening? These examples show us and give us the illustration that every generation struggles with this. It's the struggle of how do children relate to parents? How do we relate to authority? And in many cases, those things remain the same. Oscar Wilde, who was a 19th century playwright and writer and novelist, has these two plays. And in these two plays, I think he says some very profound things about this very same tension in reality. That in one, in the picture of Dorian Gray, that he says, "This children begin by loving their parents. After a time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them." Children begin by loving their parents. After a time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them. The second of his quote is in The Importance of Being Earnest. And he says this: "That few parents nowadays pay any respect to what their children say to them. The old-fashioned respect for the young is fast dying out." That those quotes capture that tension. It captures that problem of how do we relate to those who are over us? How do we relate to our parents? How do we relate to our children? And it's wonderful that God in his word, in this commandment, begins to speak to us and begins to show us what it means and how it is that we are to relate to our parents. And God in this commandment says this: "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." That what God ultimately is trying to communicate and teach us in this commandment is about authority. And for our purposes this morning, I think we should consider this passage and these verses and this commandment in light of these three ways. That this commandment speaks to all who are under authority. That first, this commandment speaks to all who are under authority. Secondly, this commandment speaks to all who are in authority. All who are in authority. And finally, this commandment shows us our need for a better authority. So, this commandment speaks to those who are under authority, to those who are in authority, and this commandment shows our need for a better authority. Jesus, when asked which commandment is the greatest or which commandment is the most important of all by the scribes of his day in Mark chapter 12, responded by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." And he responded by saying, "The second commandment is this, that you love your neighbors as yourselves." That you love your neighbors as yourselves. As we've been studying the Ten Commandments here at New City, we've covered the first four commandments, and they have dealt all with what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we now shift in these upcoming weeks to the second table or second part of God's law, which speaks to How do we relate to one another? How do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And it is fascinating that the first commandment that God gives in showing what it means to love your neighbor as yourself is this one, that you honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. God gives this commandment, and what God is showing is that this is the first place that you and I learn about authority. That it is in the family system. That it is in your and my being under our parents. That you and I learn of authority. That you and I learn of obedience and what is right and what is good. That you honor your father and your mother. This commandment is given to a people who had just come out of slavery. They are people who were probably and definitely experienced oppression by authority over them. And now here it is that God is restoring things and restoring the way they think about what it means to love one another and restoring the way even they think about authority. That if you want to know what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, honor your father and your mother. The word for honor in Hebrew, which is the original language the Old Testament was written in, is a word that means to be heavy or weighty. That what God is trying to show is that when we think of our parents, when we think of our father and our mother, when we think of authority, we should have this sense of respect. We should have this sense of dignity. We should have this sense of honor towards them. That it's a weighty thing, that it is a calling placed upon all of God's people as we are all in authority. Honor them. The Westminster Larger Catechism, which is the catechism of our church and denomination, which we believe expresses and communicates the truth of what God is teaching in Scripture. In its question and answer number 124, it says this: who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? And the answer is, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only our natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. And so you see that this is intended to extend to the way we think about all those who are over us. Not just our parents, but those who are older than us, those who are wiser than us, those who are experienced. And when you consider this commandment and the fact that not only does it say that we honor our father and our mother, but this commandment is also the first commandment and the only commandment that is given with a promise. Honor your father and mother. Why? That it may be well, that your days may be long, in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And again, in the context to which this was given, here it is that the people of God are going to a foreign nation to claim the land that God has given them. And God is promising, if you honor me, if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That is a promise. But if you think about this passage and other passages of Scripture that speak and spell out this commandment even more, then you will see that there are also other blessings and benefits to keeping this commandment. That in the other summary of God's law found in Deuteronomy 5, I think we have slides for it. Yes. You see here that it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long. And notice that here it adds, that it may go well with you in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. That God is promising that. What else do we see in Scripture? Next slide. We see in Colossians 3, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That if you want to know what pleases God, is it if you and I obey our parents. And then finally in Ephesians 6, 1, O children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That in an age and culture and world where what's right and what's good and what's true is constantly changing, the Bible tells you, this is what is right. That you and I, we obey our parents. And this applies not only to you taking out the trash when your parents ask you, or cleaning up your room when your parents ask you, or doing the chores that they ask you, but really respecting and loving them and honoring them. This applies not only to your following the laws of this land that God has instituted and put in place, like stopping at stop signs, for instance, or paying your taxes, or obeying the speed limit, but it's to show that God has intended this for your good. It is right. That God gives the commandment that we honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long in the land that the Lord our God is giving. And in wrapping up this first point, I think one final helpful passage of Scripture is from Romans 13. We have a slide for that as well. And this passage of Scripture speaks to the place of authority. And in Romans 13, Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, and not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." This commandment is ultimately a call to faith. It is a call to you and me by God of whether or not we will trust him. Will you believe me, God says? Will you trust that my way is right and my way is good? Will you see that I am kind to you in giving this law, and it is for your benefit and it is for your good? And I hope your answer and my answer is yes. And that we honor our father and our mother. And this commandment shapes the way we live under authority. But what is implied in this commandment, I think, is that those who are in authority over us, that our parents, our father, our mother, are people who are over us and who mean well for us. and who mean for our good. And I think for many in this room, this is where the problem with this commandment and God's law comes in. That it would be great if people who were in authority over us were not sinful. It would be great if we knew for certain that they meant for our good. It would be great to keep this commandment. You would have no problem in keeping this commandment if those who were in authority over you actually respected, loved, and honored you. What happens when authority is corrupt? How does this commandment apply? What happens when our parents forsake us? How does this commandment apply? I think that's where this commandment takes us. Secondly, that this commandment speaks to not only those who are under authority, but also to those who are in authority. And so, depending on your culture or experience or, you know, the circumstances of your life, you hear this commandment, and I know what you're saying to me. I know what you're thinking. Honor my father and my mother. Roy, do you know my father and my mother? Submit to governing authorities. Do you know what the government does to people like me? Do you know that I've had to flee my country because of corrupt and oppressive governing authorities? And if God is saying that he wants me to honor people who oppress me, then I have a problem with that. That is problematic. That is troublesome. And I think there the commandment begins to show that for us who are in authority, there are ways that we have to live. There are expectations that we rule in love, that we rule mercifully, that we rule in compassion. And this commandment speaks to that. This commandment addresses that. Some of you, I know, whenever you think about this commandment, you think of your horrible parents who abused you, who hurt you, who manipulated you, who made you feel like you were but extensions of their self-image and their self-glory. I know that some of you have been oppressed by governing authorities. And what it means to honor your father and mother actually means that you have to forgive, that you have to love them, that you have to think about injustices in light of all that God is doing in this world. Honor them in all their foibles and flaws and even evils against you. Still honor them. This doesn't mean you praise them or act as if everything is okay, but it means that you forgive them. It means that you confront them, if necessary, graciously about their sin. It means you tell them how you really feel and not hold back. It means that you tell them how you feel, even if it means that you lose their financial support. That God is saying, this is not the way that it's supposed to be. That his design and intention for your parents really is that they would be loving and gracious and merciful and kind as he is. That they would rule not as domineering or overbearing and crush you, but they would rule as he rules. And things are not as they should be. My former seminary professor, Dr. John Currit, writes in his commentary on this commandment, throughout Scripture, there is one caveat to this command. The person in authority needs to represent Yahweh, his covenant name for God, in the way that he or she treats people. If the authority figure transgresses God's law or demands that his people do unlawful deeds, they, and he quotes John Calvin here, have a perfect right to regard the authorities as strangers who are trying to lead them away from the obedience to the true Father. This command is thus a two-way street. It relates to how people are to obey their superiors and how superiors are to treat those over whom they exercise authority. And this is exactly where Paul speaks to this in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And he talks about what it means that children honor their father and mother. But notice, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And notice, he says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He speaks of obligation of those in authority to love the people under them. Colossians 3 as well speaks to this. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And notice what follows right after it. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And there it is again. God is saying, for us in authority, you have an obligation to model me to those who are under you. You have an obligation to imitate me to those who are under you. And it's showing us that this commandment speaks to us who are in authority. How do parents provoke their children to wrath? I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story of Todd Marinovich. He was a former NFL quarterback whose father was one of the first strength and conditioning coaches. And his dreams for his son was that his son would be, you know, the best quarterback that's ever lived. And in order to do that, he put his son under very strict and harsh disciplines and rules. So his son, even as a one-year-old, had been doing push-ups. His son only ate, you know, fruits and vegetables. His son had never had a Big Mac in his life. That's terrible, by the way. His son had never had ding-dongs or any refined sugars his whole life. And his dad's intention was, my son is going to be the best. My son is going to be robo-quarterback. And what it ended up doing, all of these hard things ended up doing, was actually turning him away from his father. That his son ended up engaging in recreational drugs to take the edge off. What edge? The edge of living under his overbearing father. The edge of being crushed by his stringent rules. And that ended up with him continuing in harder drugs until he eventually wrecked his life and bombed out of the NFL. And you have to see how this speaks to us who are in authority. That as parents, you do not have a right to crush your children. They are not your servants. You're called to love them. You're called to provide for them. You're called to care for them. And if you're given any positions of authority, that should be the ethic. That should be what informs you. This commandment should inform the way you think about ruling over others. that this commandment is speaking to our failures, really, as parents. That this commandment is showing us our failures, really, as those in authority. That this commandment is showing that there is a need for a better authority. There is a need for a better government. And that's where this commandment takes us lastly. That this commandment shows us ultimately our need for Jesus. This commandment shows us our need for God's kingdom to come and reign in us and over us. In that same passage in Mark 12 that I referenced earlier, the scribe who asked Jesus what was the most important commandment, in response to Jesus' answer to him about loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind, as well as loving our neighbors as ourselves, went on to say, "Teacher, you are right." And Jesus, in response to him, would say, "You are not far from the kingdom." That what this man thought was that if we just did all the right things, if we just said all the right things, if we thought the right things, then that was enough to merit God's salvation. That was enough to save us. And what Jesus was actually trying to get him to see was that you don't even come close. That Jesus is trying to get us to see in this commandment, we don't come close. And if I could be honest with you, whenever I hear this commandment, it makes me squirm. Whenever I think about any authority over me, it makes me squirm. Why? Because what the Bible says about me is true, that I'm a sinner. That even in something as little as receiving and opening a new pair of shoes and receiving these little packets that give one command, you guys know it, it says, do not eat. It takes the Spirit of God at work in me to fight against that. Why? Because I don't want to listen to you. Who are you, man, who wrote this on this packet? And the thing about it is, I wouldn't think about eating it if they wouldn't have written it on there. It's showing that I have a problem with authority. I have a problem with those, with anyone being over me, be it my parents, be it government, whoever. And what God shows you and me in this commandment is that this is us. That we really do have problems with authority. And what he wants to show us again and again, over and over again, is that he gives this commandment in love. That he gives this commandment saying to the people of Israel, remember, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. You know I mean well toward you. Honor your father and your mother. That God says to us, his people, you know I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt, out of your slavery to sin, out of your bondage to sin, that I'm the God who adopted and rescued you from your abusive father, Satan, that I'm the God who delivered you from the scorn of this world. You know I mean well toward you. You know I love you. You are my child. I delight in you. I'm not going to give you something that's going to kill you. Honor your father and your mother. And God gives us this to drive us again to Jesus, to help us to see our Savior, to help us to see the one who has died for us and the penalty our sins deserve and our rebellion deserves. And God uses that same gospel to transform us and to make us more like himself. so that when we are his people under the authority of our parents, we can actually forgive them. We can actually forbear. We can actually obey them. We can actually honor them. Why? Because God is with us. His Spirit lives in us. When God places us in places of authority, we can actually be patient. We can be gentle with our children. We can be kind to our children. We can show mercy to those who are under us. Why? Because God showed mercy to us. And so this commandment then begins the thing that not only transform us in this life, but we know what God is doing. That God is moving us toward our future selves, the future glory that awaits. That God is making us like himself. And we know how his kingdom ends. That ultimately it ends in his reign. That he rules in peace. That there is joy. That there is life. There is no more sorrow or death or mourning, for the former things have passed away. And so as we close in thinking about this commandment, I want us to consider again a familiar passage, I think, from Isaiah 9:6. It tells us of the coming reign of Jesus, which has already begun and has taken place in us right now and will be fulfilled. That for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Honor your father and your mother. Children, in the gospel, you learn to trust your parents and to trust Jesus with your parents. And to parents, in the gospel, you learn to trust Jesus with your children and love them and rule over them in love. And God gives this command to speak to all who are under authority, all who are in authority, and to show us our great Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the good news of Jesus and his righteousness to us. We thank you for his death on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he is faithful and kind to us. We thank you that we who are people prone to wander and rebel against your authority and rule, that you call us back. We thank you that your grace never ceases, that your love is unfailing and unwavering. We thank you, God, for truth and for showing us truth. And we ask, Father, that you would help us in our weakness to honor those you have placed over us. We ask, God, that you would help us as we serve in places of authority, that we would serve lovingly and graciously. We thank you again that you are with us and that you will see us to the end. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roy. Let's stand and make a circle around the outside of the sanctuary.